Hey friend, welcome to the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I'm your host, Emily Cleghorn. This podcast is for mamas navigating childhood trauma while also walking through mamahood. I'm so excited that you've decided to take some time out of your day to join me and tune in. I hope you find this podcast uplifting and empowering. Let's get to it. Hey there. Before we jump into this episode, I want to let you know about something that is brand new that you have access to as a Mamahood After Trauma listener. Now, tell me, does this sound like you? You want to give your littles a positive childhood experience. You want the steps to finally heal your childhood trauma. You're tired of the fear holding you back in life, and you enjoy being a mama, and you want to be more present. If you answered yes to any of the above, I would invite you to check out the Mama Untriggered private podcast series. This is a five-part private podcast series that teaches you how to ditch the emotional roller coaster and bust out of the fear controlling your mamahood. Let's teach you how to calm your nervous system through small, simple steps. I mean, parenting books and workshops are great, but we believe it's better to give you short, actionable audio clips that allow you to take action right away so that they can't escape from your mom brain, right? If this sounds at all interesting to you, I would invite you to head over to subscribepage.io/mamauntriggered. That's subscribepage.io/mamauntriggered. Now, let's go into this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. Hello, hello, friends, and welcome to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I'm so excited you have taken some time out of your day to tune in and listen to the conversation. Today, we have the honor of being joined by Caitlin Peterson. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, let's dive right in, shall we?
Yes.
So could you introduce yourself to our audience and, you know, just briefly share a bit of your story and how you came to be working in the space?
Absolutely. I'd be honored to. So I'm Caitlin Peterson. I'm a licensed clinical social worker in the state of New Jersey and a heart-centered hypnotherapist. How I came to be working with moms particularly is because of my own journey, I'd say. I'm a mother. I became a mom at 24, and in that process also endured significant trauma in the relationship I was in, let alone the birth is always traumatic, right? So navigating recovery personally was obligation and responsibility I felt not only to my own life, but to my son's life. Mm-hmm. And as I've, like you said, dove deeper into myself, I saw that I was able to access the depth of my clients in a much richer way. Mm-hmm. So I find that therapists and coaches alike who do their own personal work in healing their trauma tend to be more impactful and can dive deeper with their clients themselves. So that's what just has been the evolution of my practice.
Yeah, it's so true. When you are able to dive deeper into understanding yourself and mm-hmm. what makes you tick and all of those things, you're better able to support other people.
Absolutely.
Especially a developing child.
Yeah, right. There's just so much more compassion for a child's development when you understand your own. and how you got there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's have a conversation today around resilience.
Sure.
Your story is one of resilience. My story is one of resilience. So what words of wisdom do you have for a listener who's feeling not very resilient?
You know, the weakest parts of a journey, especially in my case, in the cases of my clients, are the places where we end up being the strongest. You know, when I recall a time in my own personal life, it was after a rupture in my relationship, and I was alone in my bedroom in the dark, crying and praying and just thinking I can't go on any longer, right? And it was a real dark period of my life. And in that moment, I felt the weakest. Like, I felt like I was just so afraid. I didn't know. And I also felt paralyzed. I didn't know what to do, where to go, where to turn. And in that dark moment where I felt the weakest is when my soul or my consciousness kind of woke up and said, go wash your face. Just do, you know, like, and that was just a symbol of just doing what one little thing next will then lead to the next step and the next step, and you'll become stronger and stronger. It's just that taking that little step forward that felt like a big, tremendous moment for me of just like getting up and taking care of myself in that moment. You know, so even though that could have been seen as a real weak moment, it was like, oh no, I had the strength to just get up and wash my face. And there was something greater than the pain that I was able to attach to in that moment that led me to then the next point of growth. Yeah.
Yeah. Finding that bit of strength to just do one small thing.
Yeah.
That is powerful.
It was. Yeah, it changed my life. It really did. It was that moment of like the human part of me, right? The part that endured the trauma, the part that was so scared and afraid to take any step, suddenly felt the presence of the consciousness, the wise part of me that was maybe buried away or disconnected from because my ego was in such a survival mode. My human part of me was in such a survival mode. And that reclamation of that, just, okay, no, I'm here with you too. The wisdom is still within you. And what led me to that reconnection was getting literally on my knees, you know, and saying like, I need help. And here I came back to myself. And so that was my, you know, dark night of the soul, if you would. But I can never force a client to get to that point, right? So it really is a personal journey to reclaim the power in that little action. And sharing our stories, I hope, sparks inspiration and maybe even like a remembrance of, oh, wait, I did that once. Wait, I was able to do that at that moment. I do have that connection to my soul. How can I utilize it? How can I strengthen that relationship so that I can take more courageous steps outside of the fear of pain?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The fear of opening up because it hurt the last time, or the fear of putting yourself out there because you might get hurt, or, you know, all of those bits of fear that have a tendency to hold us back, to keep us in our shell, to protect us. But
from being traumatized.
From being traumatized, yeah. But there's so much more when you are able to do that one small thing and get yourself out of that dark fear hole.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. It's almost, you know, that when you're in that, I like that visualization of being in a hole, because that's really what it feels like. You feel trapped, but you can see the light. It's just like so far away. It's not linear, right? It's this uphill journey. And you're like, I don't have a rope. Yeah. I don't got a ladder. what do I do, right? And then you realize, like, oh, I've got this tool that I can etch out the sides of this hole and take one little step and make the next step for myself and the next step for myself. And you surprise yourself at how far you can get just with a little bit of resources that you have within yourself and around you. But you're right, it's just that fear of, for me, getting to the core of what I was afraid of helped me have the courage to override it. So for me, in that moment, I remember crying and feeling this grave, just paralyzation, as I say. And I remember saying, I'm so afraid. I'm so afraid. And then I asked, like, what am I afraid of? What am I actually afraid of? Why am I crying? And it was being alone. I was so afraid of being alone, but I had been alone for so much of my life, right? So knowing that that was the core fear and how I was projecting that onto the situation, I was trying to rescue something that I should not want to be a part of. Right? I was trying to change the situation so that then I wouldn't have to be alone. But in reality, being alone was safer and healthier for me in the long run. And so I had to challenge the fear to realize that being alone is not bad. You know, being alone can be safer. And so when you're in those dark moments and you don't feel resilient, I always ask myself now and my clients to get to the core. What are you really afraid of right now?
Yeah.
You know, what are you trying to protect yourself from? And you might be right. You might really, you should maybe protect yourself from this. And maybe taking action looks differently if you honor the fear, because it could be protecting you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting to the core is huge. And it can be really scary to get to the core.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what's there.
Yeah. Where did this come from? Why was this such a big issue for me? Why would I be so afraid of leaving something that was so unhealthy for our family? You know, what was I trying to overcome and rewrite from my childhood in this relationship?
Yeah. Yeah. What were some, did you use any tools or resources to help you through that journey?
Yes. So for me, when you're in trauma, when you're in maybe a traumatic situation, whether it's acute or long-term perpetual trauma, we cannot get out and heal on our own. Like, even animals need a community, right? So we're no different. And so I found myself practicing what I preach. I went and found myself, I worked with a shaman every other week. I had a therapist. I went to acupuncture and I did yoga, any free resources I could get my hands on. I was also in training for a bunch of the courses I now lead. One in particular that really transformed my life and is a simple, a book that you could pick up and teach yourself if you don't have access to the things that I listed as my network of support, is called The Warrior Heart Practice. And that is written by Heather Ashimara. She's a life coach, spiritual teacher, and an author who writes self-help books and helps women reconnect to the truth. And so she walks you through the chambers of your heart as if it were rooms that you can reclaim the truth in. So the first room of the heart is the feeling in your body, bringing yourself back into how the body feels. The second chamber is where the ego lives as well, and that's the story. And you let yourself almost emote like a child having a tantrum. You don't judge yourself. You let yourself say the most extreme things that are really influencing your perception of the situation. And then the soul takes gently the ego through to the third chamber, which is the truth. And that's when you kind of fact check the story, but with such reverence and understanding with compassion. And then you step into the intent chamber and say, okay, what do you want out of this situation? You know, like, just what's the intent that you're willing to move towards? And with that clarity, the story and the body no longer dictate how you behave.
Mm.
You transcend the confusion and the chaos of the mind into the truth of the soul. And then when you set the intent, right, if the intent is, I'm afraid to be alone, but I don't want to be here, I need to find support.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go wash my face. I'm going to start taking care of myself. I'm going to go find a therapist. I'm going to talk through this with loved ones. I'm going to get help. You know, you don't know how it's going to turn out, but that resource really helped me gain clarity in the situation.
Wow. Wow. That is so empowering to have that tool to help you navigate the pathway.
Yes.
Because it is so unknown. You don't really know where it's going to go. You know where you are right now. You
right.
know where you rather where you would like to be.
Totally.
But how to get from A to B or A to Z can be like walking through a room in the dark.
Yeah. You know what else also happens too when you start identifying the desire to be somewhere else?
Yeah.
Is it open up, I think you open up opportunities for miracles.
Mm.
And just these serendipitous moments of help. So
yeah.
Another thing that I remember happening during that time was I was walking down the street, you know, trying to embrace nature and be outside with the air. And I passed this tree that had a book shelf on it, right? Free books, take it if you'd like. A book literally fell out of the bookshelf, right? And onto the path in front of me. And it happened to be another really profound book that opened me up to more healing. I think the title was Angels in My Hair by Lorna Byrne. And it was just these moments of like, okay, there's a way out. There is hope.
Mm-hmm.
I can do it. And it was just like you said, these little tiny steps that made me feel like I was getting closer to something.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I just want other women who are in or recovering from trauma to know that it's these little steps that build the momentum and ensure your endurance.
Mm-hmm.
And the willingness to open up to receive miracles and help along the way just kind of makes you feel almost unstoppable after a while. Like, oh, I've been through that.
Yeah.
I can take on the next step that I need to go through.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes there are situations that we go through that are traumatic that require us to revisit them a few times before the sting dissolves.
Mm-hmm.
And in those instances, I've faced that a few times with a few different things.
Yeah.
It can start to wear you down and you start to be like, okay, how many times am I going to have to deal with this thing before it leaves me alone?
Yeah, you're right. You're so right. And even if it's in your dreams, right? Or you're having flashbacks of the situation that you endured, the important thing is to know, yes, your story needs to be told because it gets diluted.
Yeah.
With the point of knowing that was then, this is now.
Yeah.
So there's a fine line between re-traumatizing somebody
by
going through it again and again and again, and also teaching them how that can be a form of desensitization if the ending is emphasized. So, right. So if we're reclaiming ourselves and the power and the lessons that we've taken from trauma, we can bring ourselves back to the present moment by saying, okay, that was then, this is now. And you walk through it, the present moment, with this clarity of, okay, I am safe, because we don't want your nervous system to be then reactivated to brace for another.
Yeah.
Because our brain doesn't know necessarily.
Yeah.
Is not happening again in our world.
It can't tell 1996 from 2024.
Right. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, oftentimes I have found that as a trauma survivor, we are much stronger and more resilient than we can recognize, because we've been in the thick of it. In like our nervous system has been in the thick of it. And, you know, sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees.
You really can't.
So you got to give yourself some grace.
You do. Yeah. And to see and to hear inspirational stories like your own helps us give ourselves grace, because we realize that, like, oh, I don't have to do it all on my own. Oh, you know, these resources helped this person. You know, maybe I don't have to be so strong all of the time. Knowing your strengths and having to use them to survive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are two different things necessarily, right? Because you can choose to use them as tools versus always having them on guard and ready to go. Yeah, so there's this softness and strength when you realize that you are in fact safe and you're prepared.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you end up having a really awesome toolkit.
Yes.
You develop really good people reading skills.
You do.
And, you know, you're a little bit unstoppable.
You really are. I feel like as you process and you go through the stages of healing, and especially for me, when I've let the tap run quite a bit in therapy, and I've really emptied myself and understood myself and understood the core fears and have learned how to just take care and nurture those parts, I feel less emotional. There's less inside of me that gets triggered. And so I handle normal stress, not because I'm used to trauma, but because I know myself. I know what I'm capable of. Right? That's the tree, the wounded tree, right? Blown in the wind.
Did you find on your journey that your triggers dissipated kind of overnight? Like it was challenging, and then it wasn't a thing anymore.
Yes. And you are so right, because to say it happened overnight sounds like, oh, it was one day it was bad and the next day it wasn't. No. But what I did notice overnight was eventually I came to realizing I wasn't being triggered by something that I used to be, but it took the work, like you said, to get to that point. But it was like, oh my God, I'm actually okay with this. Whereas 2 years ago, this would have set me off. You know, I would have had to recover from this. And it was what came to was the overnight. It was the recognition of, wow, I worked really hard, but then all of a sudden my subconscious now implanted this that I've been working so hard in creating. And the old one has lost its traction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I noticed that recently.
Good for you.
Mamahood has been challenging in many ways.
Yes.
Post-trauma.
Yeah.
And one of the things that was really triggering for me was when my kids were having temper tantrums, because they were losing their ever loving mind, and I was trying to help them, but they weren't listening. So I felt unheard, and you know the cycle.
Yes.
And so my nervous system was reacting to the feeling of being unheard.
Yeah.
And I couldn't regulate myself, let alone my toddler.
Right. Yeah.
And I just realized one day, a couple of weeks ago, I was like, whoa, I didn't lose my shit.
Yeah.
In that temper tantrum. Oh my goodness. Like,
wow.
And it changes the dynamic.
Yes. We say that, like, your first thought or your first reaction is automatic, right? Mm-hmm. It's like trigger button, automatic response. But then the second thought is our choice. So you would maybe in past moments of that, you would have your reaction, whether you expressed it or not, it was in your head, right? And then you would choose to become more conscious and patient with your child's. However, now it sounds like your automatic reaction has become that conscious parent and doesn't have to be the second choice.
Yeah, it
And
is
that's because of your
crazy.
reprogramming.
Yeah. Yeah, it is
That is
amazing.
possible.
It is possible, Mama. If you're triggered by your kids' temper tantrums, which are normal because it's developmental stuff going on, but you know, it's possible to get untriggered.
It is. And I think our capacity for holding the patience that's required for those moments that were once triggering comes from holding space for your own temper tantrums, you know, and letting yourself express what you weren't maybe able to express during trauma.
Yeah.
Right. And healing that and holding space for yourself internally or in therapy and coaching. And then when you're reliving something that you weren't able to express as a child, right?
Yeah.
With your own son or daughter, you're like, oh my God, I'm healing my inner child by giving them space to act like a child right now.
Yeah.
You know, because I was able to act like a child in therapy last week and got to that clarity and got that healing. I can then let them be that, which I wasn't able to at the time.
And give them the tools that they need to communicate how they're feeling.
Totally.
Like,
imagine that.
holy heavens, what a change.
Total change.
So what final words do you have for a listener who is looking for more resilience?
I would tell them that their story is real. What they're enduring is happening. And that it really only starts with one thing at a time. It could be the commitment in the morning to make your bed.
Yeah.
It's just this one action of self-love and self-care that will breed more opportunities for your strength to come back into you. And I would just really advocate for people to find networks of support online, in person if they can, so that they feel like, you know, when they succeed, it's a whole team celebrating those little successes, because we really need each other.
Oh boy, do we ever.
Yeah.
How can our listeners connect with you further if they'd like to do so?
They can visit my website. It's CAITwellness.com, katewellness.com. I also am pretty active on social media and make some posts that could be helpful, and that's The Soul School on Instagram.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to tune in to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. If you would like more of the Mamahood After Trauma community, make sure to look in the description of this episode for the link to become a Mamahood After Trauma Inner Circle member. Until next time, Mama, keep going.